Tonight's daf is daf chavtes as we continue to plow through these sugis of Tumah in Bamei Malikin. So the Gemara says three lines down, Rava Amar. So we're going back to that discussion in the Mishnah about being able to light from that beged, the psilas beged. If they had folded the beged in such a way, so Rabbi Eliezer said, "You ain't Malikin ba." Rikius is Malikin ba. So we're discussing that machlokas. So Rava Amar, Hainu Taima de Rabbi Eliezer. The reason why Rabbi Eliezer says you can't light from this beged that you folded over is because the fisha ain't Malikin bepsila, she'ena muchurechas, and you can't use a psila ain't muchurechas. What does muchurechas mean? How do they define it?
Charred.
Charred, okay. If it's not charred, you can't light it. It's not going to catch the fire well. Below, bismar martutin, she'ena muchurechan. What does that martutin mean?
Rags.
And you can't use rags either if they're not charred. So since they're not charred, you're not allowed to use it. That's his reasoning. Fine. So the Gemara says then, if once we establish that, Elohad the Tani of Yosef, Shlosha Shlosha Mitzumtamos. If you have a 3x3, a beged, that's exactly 3x3 Tvachim, so what's the halacha when we say it exactly? What exactly is the context it's referring to? Lamai Hilchasa?
Is that Tzbos?
Okay, it's Tzbos. So the statement of Yosef said, that 3x3 etzbos that are exact, what was that halacha? There's some brice that he was quoting earlier about. So what was he referring to? So Gemara says, le'inyan tuma. That's referring to tuma. Nothing to do with lighting halash. Ne'er Shabbat is referring to tuma. That what? The Tanah Misha tells us, shlosha shalosh shamru, the 3x3 etzbos shamru that we spoke of, chutz min ha'malal divrei Rabbi Shimon, so what's it referring to here? So we said before that you have your beged that's exactly 3x3 etzbos. So that's the halacha, what's makabel tuma, if it's that size, with the exception of mala. What's mala? It's a part of a sewed beged, a hem, except for the hem, that's not included in it, I guess. Right. You need by 3x3 etzbos aside from the hem. According to Rabbi Yishimon, Chacham Omim, Shalosh HaShalosh, Mechuvanos, exactly, and you don't have to add the hem into the shear as well. Okay, so that was, again, a whole other discussion of Tumah. So Gemara now says, back to what we saw yesterday, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Masikin Bekelim, Vein Masikin Beshivrei Kelim. You're allowed to light a fire or fuel a fire with Kelim, things that are not Muksa, but Shivrei Kelim, things that are broken, that broke on Yontiv itself. There was nolad, nolad's asur, because it was a kli, now it's a broken kli, that's going to be nolad and asur, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That you cannot use to fire up your fire. Rabbi Shimon Mati, he permitted you to use even shivrei kelim, because Rabbi Shimon in general holds that there is no muksa. Then the Gemara says, masikin b'tamarim, you're allowed to use dates to fuel the fire. Achlan, let's say you ate them, so then ain masikin b'garinim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You cannot use the garineim, the seeds, because those are moksa. But Rabbi Shimon Mati, he allows you to use the seeds, the pits. Masikin b'gozim, you're allowed to use the nuts to fuel the fire. Achlan, if you ate them, ain masikin b'kliposein. But the remaining shell, that's moksa, that's not allowed to be used divrei Rabbi Yehuda again, because he holds a moksa. But Rabbi Shimon Matir, he permits. So these are three different cases where there's machlokas of muksa, whether you could use muksa or nolad for the fire. And again, Rabbi Huda prohibits each case, or Rabbi Shimon permits each of the cases. So there's again one case of broken kalim, the second case was the pits of the dates, and the third case was the shell of the nuts. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you need all three examples here? V'tzricha. Because the Ashmin and Kamaisa, we taught the first case only of Shivrei Kelim. So maybe Behahi Kamar Rabbi Yehuda, maybe only in that case Rabbi Yehuda prohibits using Shivrei Kelim, because Mishum Dimei Kara Kli, because initially it was a Kli, it was had a purpose, Vahashta Shever Kli, now it's a broken Kli, Pavile Nolad, Vasr, only that case is Asr. Aval Tamarim, when it came to the dates, Dimei Kara Garinan, the Vahashta Garinan, the pit was there before, the pit is there now, you're just exposing the pit, but the pit was always there, there's no Nolad issue here. So maybe in this case, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Emer Shaper Dummy, would allow you to use the date pits to fuel the fire. Kamash Malan, even by the dates, he says, it's Aser. And then the last case of the Kliposeyan, of the Egozim, V'yashmina and Garina. And if we taught the case of the pits, Havamina Demekara Mechasian Vahashim Megalin, that the pits were initially covered up by the date, and now after you ate the date, it's exposed. So maybe only that case would Rabbi Yehuda think it's Aser, because it's similar to Nolad. Aval klipe agozim, when it came to the shell of the nut, the mekara migle, the hashe migle, you saw the shells in the beginning, you still see the shells now. It's no resemblance to nolad, Maybe Eimer Shaper Dami. Maybe in this case as well, Rabbi Huda would permit you to use it. Kamash Milan, even in this case of the shells that were always exposed, it's usher to use them to fuel the fire. So there's a big discussion here when it comes to the pits, and date pits and pits in general. What's the status on Shabbos? Let's say a person ate a watermelon pit. So is that seed or pit, is that going to be muksa after you eat it? So let's say it's in your mouth. Could you take out the watermelon seed and put it on the side? Or it's muksa, you could only spit it out. So there's a discussion in the Achronim. The Moshe writes that he thinks that most poskim hold that the pits and seeds are usur. So if you have watermelon pits in your mouth, you're only allowed to spit them out. You cannot take them out and place them. That would be a violation of muksa. What if you eat them? If it's edible, then it'd be another story. Most people eat the black ones.
I don't even have them anymore.
What? Yeah, sure, right. Once in a while, you get a couple. Once in a while, you get some of them.
What are those, like pistachio nuts?
Pistachio nuts.
Shell of pistachio nuts.
So once you break them, so if it's in your hand, so then you could, once in your hand, you can move it wherever you want. But the moment you put it down, so then, or it's in your mouth, you won't put it in your mouth, but let's say it's in your mouth, once it's no longer connected to food, that becomes mooks and you can't move it with your hand, you can only spit it. So that pistachio nuts, you're not putting in the mouth, so you break it and you leave it. Now you have to be very careful. The problem is with leaving it, then you can't move it on the table. It's stuck on the table now. So if you leave it on the plate, though, and the plate has other food on it, it's not going to be basis, because a basis, what's halacha of basis? Basis is only created, let's backtrack. What's basis? So let's say a person leaves a davar muksa on a table, so I can't move this table now because the muksa makes it a basis. Now, basis only becomes a basis, what's the number one criteria? Has he banished mashos? So any pit muksa that came only during Shabbos, that doesn't create a basis. So that plate is not going to be muksa, nor would the table be muksa. But you still can't move it. But muksa, you're allowed to move tiltum and atzad if you need it. So, but certainly if there's still food on the plate, you're moving it because of the food, that would all be permitted. But to move it to pistachio nut or a pit after it's already clean from the food, that's muksa. Yeah, to define, is it really gosher? I don't know. It's not good smell. If it really bothers you, it could be.
You know what I'm saying, as far as like right. On the table,
right.
Would you leave a...
Right. It's possible. It is possible. It could qualify as that, but it depends how disgusting you really take it. Does it really affect you or your wife?
Chicken bones have the same issue, or because that's really different?
Chicken bones have the same issue. The Gemara talks about atzamos, bones, that are muksa. But if there's some food left on it, so which oftentimes it's the case, so then it wouldn't be considered muksa if it has some chicken left on it. Okay. The Gemara now says, V'ho d'rav la b'feirish atmar. That statement we said of Rav above was not a statement that was said explicitly. Rather, elo michlo itmar. It was something derived from, it was inferred from a statement that Rav had said. What did he say? The Gemara explains, the itmar Rav achal tamrei, he ate dates. The shada kshisa lebuchya. He took the kshisa, which is the pit, and he threw it to the buchya. Buchya is what into the oven, I think, right?
Yeah.
So then, Amar Lei Rabbi Yechia bar Pachtei. Rabbi Yechia bar Pachtei, Rashi ben gadolim. I don't know what ben gadol means. Is a father's a gadol, I guess. Okay, fine. Kenegdo biyamtif aser. So to do this on yamtif would be a problem. So the question is, kibliminei or lo kibliminei? Did he accept this ruling that in yontif it would be aser, or would it not be? So the Gemara says, Toshma, dechi aser Rav lebavel. When Rav went to Bavel, achal tamrei, he was eating dates, and vishada kishisa lechiyusa, and he threw the animals, that first story, by the way, took place on Chol. It was a regular weekday. He was eating it. That's what Rashi says. But he wanted to know, would that be permitted on Yontif? And he told him, that's allowed. You could throw the pits into the oven on Shabbat, rather on weekday, but on Yontif would be Asr. So then they have the statement, when he went to Bavel, he threw the garinin, the pits, to the chiyusa. Chiyusa are the animals, to feed the animals. So the Gemara explains, my love, biparsiyu asa, velo kibla. What's parsiyasa? So Rashi explains, look at Rashi, dibra mascha parsiyasa. Now we're talking about a scenario on Yontif. Parsiyasa is tamarim tovim u'mispashlim yafa. We're talking about nice dates that were ripened very nicely. V'chol ochel shalahem nifrash me'al garinehem. So the more ripe a date is, so the easier it comes off the pit. It's very smooth. So the date is a very clean pit with nothing left on it. So parsiyasa is a very ripe date. And again, the pit's going to be clean of any food. Ve'ina garinan ru'uin litaltel. So now that the pit, you've removed all the date food, the fruit from the pit, it's not, the pit itself isn't edible. Vafilachi, still nonetheless, Shari Letaltalan, the Mishadin, the Chayuse, it was permitted to throw the pit to the animals to eat. Alma lo kibliminai. He didn't accept the ruling. In other words, he says you are allowed to move a pit on Yontif. That's his understanding. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not true. Barmiyasa, we're talking about Armiyasa, which Rashi explained is de'ein misbashlos yofe. It wasn't ripened well. Veina ochel nifrash mehen. The food doesn't come off easily from the pit. Some of it still stays attached. Umishtayer bigarina. It's still remaining some of the dates on the pit. V'chazul adam. So since there's a little bit left over, it's fit for man. Maichel adam. And that's why he was able to, the Rashi Gemara says, v'hol v'chazi agav imayu. Since it's a chazi based on the imayu, the mother, but literally in this case, it means that there's a little bit more on top of it. So therefore, that's why he was able to throw it to the animals. But had not been for that, the pits would have been usher. So that's how we learned out what Rav's position is regarding the pits of a day. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar le'Rav Shmuel bar Chana le'Rav Yosef le'Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, Damar masikin b'kein vein masikin b'shivei kelim. That he allowed you to fuel the fire with kelim, since kelim are muksa, but not with broken kelim, because broken kelim are not muksa. So they wanted to know, according to his opinion, kevin da'alik behu purta. The moment you throw a kli, let's say, I don't know, pick something, a dish. You took a dish, a wooden cutting board, let's say, and you put it into the fire. So now the moment it goes into the fire, it's a broken kli. You can't use that wooden board anymore. It's shivrei kelim. And now, v'havile shivrei kelim, v'chi kamahapech b'isur kamahapech. So now we don't really appreciate this, but on Yontif, you're allowed to really stoke the fire. If the on Shabbos, you can't, but on Yontif, you're allowed to. You can't create a new fire. Why can't you create a new fire on Yontif? You can't light a match. What's the violation? We call it molid. Molid. Right? We know on Yontif, mavir is allowed. You're allowed to do fire from one fire to the next fire. You could raise the flame if you need. So mavir is allowed. Even mavir is one of the mlachas. But molid, even though molid is not a derisa, molid is dirabanan, the Chacham would say you can't do molid on Yontif. That's the reason why you can't light a match. You can't light a new pilot on Yontif because of molid. It's a midrabanan. It's, again, counterintuitive because Havara, which is a mlacha, that's allowed. Molid, which is only an Isser dirabanan, is not allowed, but that's what the halacha is. So you can't light a new fire, but you could raise the flame. So now we don't have fireplaces running on Yontif or Shabbos anymore. Maybe some people do. I told you this before. Once someone asked me this question about what the halachas are. I was at an Ufrif away, someone, Erev Shabbos, an hour before he called me up. I was at a hotel about what the halachas are of having a fireplace run. It was like a big blizzard that Shabbos, having a fireplace run on Shabbos. So and there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch that talks about that you have to make sure all the rove, it's a Gemara in Shabbos Amar, that rove of the wood has to be lit. There's a question, is it rove of the piece of wood, rove of each piece of wood? But I didn't have a Mishabur with me to look it up, so I said look it up or call someone else. But they had fireplaces, that's what they had to heat the house up. So in Yontif, you're allowed to, take whatever, stoke the fire and the lumber and the wood and flip things around. So now the problem is, as when you're doing that, if you're moving around muksa there, there's an isra muksa. So if I take this, I took a kli, I took a wooden cutting board, which is a kli, I throw it into the fire. Now the fire catches on to the wooden board. Now the wooden board is no longer a kli because it's broken. I'm never going to use it again. It's not usable. So now if I start moving around with that one of those sticks, and that's considered an extension of my hand, that's not tiltum atzad. Whenever you take something, a fork, that's considered my hand. That's not tiltum atzad. That's direct. So now I'm trying to move the wood around, but now it's muksa. So how am I allowed to do that? I'm being mahapich in a davar muksa. So even for Rav Yehuda, who allows you to throw in kalim, but again, the moment the kalim gets burnt, it becomes shivri kalim, you can't move around the wood anymore. So the Gemara answers, no. David kidirav masna, damar rav masna, rav masna holds, amarav etim shenishu min adekel, letanur, biyomtiv. Let's say you happen to have where your oven situated, was outside. Many of their ovens were outside. And let's say a branch falls off and falls into the fire to add fuel to the oven on Yontif. Now the problem is, that broken branch that just happened on Yontif is muksa, it's nolad, because it wasn't roy before Yontif. So now I can't move my fire, I can't move the wood around in my oven because there's a new branch that just broke in there. So the advice is, says the Gemara here, marbe etim muchanim umasikim. What you could do is get some prepared wood on the side, logs of that you prepared before Yandif, throw that in the oven, and now with rove, as long as rove of the wood is muchan, it's going to be mevatel, that branch that just fell off now. So even though the branch is a muksa, if you're a marbe with a muchan etim, it's going to be mevatel it. So here too as well, if you throw the wooden board, the wooden cutting board into the fire, and now it gets broken, if I throw other pieces of wood in there, which are not muksa and already muchan, so then that will be mevatel et beruf. Okay, we're all good here still? Excellent.
What if you don't? So then that's it.
You can't move it around. It's muksa. Or nola. Gemara now says, last eight lines or so of the Amud here, Rav Hamnuna Amar Hacha. This case really is bepachos mishlosha al shlosha askinim. So just look at Rashi to figure out what Rav Hamnuna is referring to here. Rashi around 15 lines up. Rav Hamnuna amar masnisin bepachos mishlosha tvachim al shlosha tvachim pligi linen tuma. The debate in the Mishnah whether this beged shekifla evlo hiva is that tuma or not tuma is talking about a piece of cloth that is less than 3x3 tvachim. Umekule matlonios shanukan. So what does that mean? Rashi explains here, umekule matlonios hakalos beinav. Like towels or rags that are kalos, that are very light in our eyes, that we don't really care much about. Dumya dimisukanos lipkok merchats dimide delochashivu. Things that he used to kind of plug the hole in the bath or the water or a rag of some sort. These things are not very chashiv. They don't have much value to them. So now, we're talking about something less than 3x3 tefachim, that is a rag. So, Vazdu Rebbe Eliezer Latame, Rebbe Eliezer's Lashitaso, Rebbe Kiba Latame. This time, we have a Mishnah elsewhere, which we're going to use to explain the Mishnah here in Shabbos. So this Mishnah appears in Maseches Kelim Perk Chavches. It says, Pachos Mishlosha Shlosha, if you have a less than 3x3 tefachim rag, Shiskinu Lepakik Basamerchatz, you use it, what did they say, to clog the hole? Is that what it's saying, right? To close up? Right, Rashi says, plug in the hole, right. So you use it to plug the hole in the merchatz, ulenar bas ha-kedera, or to, Rashi explains, le'echos ben shule ha-kedera lenaro l'tocha tamchoid, kind of like oven mittens, where you use it to hold the pot and to shake the food out. Again, a rag. And then a third example, the Mishnah says, is le'kanech bas rechaim, you use it to clean out the mill, some of the oil or things that are stuck there. So bein min amuchan, bein shein min amuchan, tameh. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Whether or not this was prepared or not set aside, these rags, according to Rabbi Eliezer, are considered a kli. And once it's a kli, since it has a use, even though it's very small, it is ra'i l'kabel tuma. But Rabbi Yeshua Omer, bein kach, bein min amuchan, bein shlom min amuchan, he argues and says, whether you prepared this as a use, or whether you just pulled it out of the back closet and it was never prepared, it's always considered tahor. And then, according to Rabbi Kiva, Omer, minamuchan tameh, vishlo minamuchan tahor. So normally the rag that's less than 3x3 tefachim is nothing. And it wouldn't be, if it's einu minamuchan, it's tahor, because it's too small. But if you were making it, if you set aside, you prepared this rag, even though it's small, but if you prepared it, it would be considered a kli by your machshava, and then it is roi l'kabel tuma. So again, just to review, Rabbi Eliezer says the rag of this size is always tameh, even if it wasn't prepared. Rabbi Akiva says only if it's prepared, but if it's not prepared, so then it's not mekabel tuma. So that's how we see Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer l'shitaso. Because Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah says this psila habeged is tahora, because it's no use, it wasn't set aside, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's tameya because we don't care if it's set aside. So the Gemara explains further now. Vamar Ula, to explain this mission, Kalin, a little bit more, Visema others say, Rabba bar barchana, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol modem, everybody agrees, Zarka ba'ashba, Divya kol tar. If you threw this rag into the garbage, everyone agreed it's tar, because already, with your machshava, it's a small piece of garment, and you, a small piece of cloth, and you threw it away, it's certainly tar. Let's say hinicho bekuv. So let's say you placed it in a box, in a drawer, which clearly indicates that you want to save it, you want to preserve it. So then divriya kol tameh, everyone agrees it's tameh, because you're showing that you are machshivit. But the lo nechalku, what's the debate here, whether this less than 3x3 cloth is tamei tahar? Lo nechalku ela shetlo b'magod. We hang it in a magod. How do they define a magod here?
A
hook, just a hook, yeah, okay. A peg, there we go. Oh, shenichol lachor yadels, or you're hanging it behind your door, like a towel or a robe or something. So then, that's the machlokas. So here, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, midelozarka ba'ashba, daita ilave. So from the fact that you didn't throw it in the garbage, anything less than, anything more than that thrown in the garbage shows that you want it. You daita ilave. If you didn't throw it in the garbage, even though it's not in your drawer, it's hanging on a hook somewhere, that's machshivit. Umay kari shalom minamuchan. Muchan, why is it called not minamuchan? Because the lagavi kupsa la muchanu. Because since you didn't prepare, it wasn't placed in the box, into a drawer, so that's muchan. But hanging on the door, the back of the door, that's called shalom minamuchan, meaning it really is muchan. It really is prepared and set aside, your machshivit, but just relative to storing in a drawer, hanging it on a hook is considered less muchan than placing it in a drawer, but it really is halachically considered muchan, and that's why Rabbi Eliezer holds both of these scenarios. This beged is tame or rai the kabal tuma. Rabbi Yeshua, he was the one who held that whether it's muchan or not muchan, it's always tahor. So Rabbi Yeshua savar midilohi nichol b'kufsa b'tuli batle. From the fact that you didn't place it in a box or in a drawer, you weren't trying to preserve it, even though you hung it somewhere on a hook, that's meaningless. And so fine. So then the Gemara says, "My kari le muchan." So he says, even if it's muchan, it's still tahor. Why is it called muchan? If he thinks if you place it on a hook, it means you don't care about it. Because dilagabe ashba muchanu, relative to a garbage, hanging on a hook is more muchan than him throwing in the garbage, of course. But lamaisa, he holds hanging on a hook is not really muchan. That shows you're being mivatal. So then comes along Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva batalo b'magod, when hanging on a hook, savar ki Rabbi Eliezer. He holds like Rabbi Eliezer that hanging on a hook shows that you are interested in it, and that's machshivit, as opposed to hanich achrei hadeles, we hang it on the back of the door, that shows you care less about it. Savar la ki Rabbi Yeshua. He holds like Rabbi Yeshua that it would be considered tahor. So there are four different scenarios here. Just to review again, in the garbage, everyone agrees it's tahor. In your drawer or box, everyone considers tahor, tame rather, that means you want to keep it, it's a kli. The debate is a hook and behind the door. So Rabbi Eliezer holds, both those cases are considered you're interested in it, and both those cases are tame. Rabbi Shua says both those cases, hook and behind the door, are both tahor, that means you're not interested, and Rabbi Kiva splits in half. Behind the door, you're not interested in it, it's tahor. Hanging on a hook, you are interested in it, and it would be considered tame. Fine, we're all good with that machlokas. Great. Gemara now says Mahadar be Rabbi Kiva lagabe de Rishua, but then Rabbi Kiva retracted and he joined forces with Rabbi Shua and said that in all cases, whether it's behind the door or even on the hook, they're both going to be tahor. Fine. So okay, do we connect it back to the Mishnah? I think it was just understood. I think I understood this. The same spot we applied here, we would apply to the Mishnah as well as to why Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva argue in the Mishnah about it's a case where you're hanging it behind on the hook and behind the door. That's the machlokas. So the Gemara then says, Mimai, how do you know this, that Rabbi Kiva retracted to learn like Rabbi Yeshua? So Amar Rava, midikatani psilas habeged. The fact that our Mishnah gave an example of psilas habeged, my irya detani psilas habeged, listen, a psila shel beged, my psilas habeged da dain begedhu. Right, psila shel beged means you tore off a piece from the beged. We're talking about where you actually took the beged itself. You didn't take a piece of the beged; you actually took a beged. And by taking a beged and folding it over, that alone will render it a no longer a kli. Just look at Rashi here. Rashi says shel beged. It's around 15 lines down or so. Mashma shekipla mi beged, ha beged, mashma shekipla ha beged atzmo shalim. So again, like we said, if it's mi beged, you took a part of it. If it's the beged, ha beged, it's the actual beged. So Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Yeshua that an actual beged, if you show no longer any interest in it, if throwing in the garbage, hanging on a hook, putting it behind the door, folding it, all of those are going to be expressions of no longer interested and would be considered tahor. So again, from the fact that Mishnah says, kipla ha-beged, you took a beged and just folded it and twisted it into a wick, that shows he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that even though it's minamuchan, it's going to be considered tahor. Hard stuff, guys, right? Keep you with us still? Okay, good. Mishnah says, Layikav Adam Shfaferes Shabetza Pim Lena Shemin. A person should not make a hole in an eggshell and fill it up with oil, Vietnana al Pihaner, and then place it on the candle, Bishwil Shatemir Atefes, and have the egg drip out the oil slowly so it could continue to fuel the fire. One should not do that. Vafilu Hishal Cheres, even if it's from Cheres. Why, what's the concern here? So if you look at Rashi on the Mishnah here, he says, Shetemin Atefes, Vizkaim Haner, Shetei Hashemin Metaftef Kol Shal Latoch Haner. The oil is going to slowly drip and continue to fuel the fire. So what's the problem? Why can't you do that? Because Taima Mishim Gzeira Shema Yistapik Hey Manu, there's a concern. You might want to dip your chal in oil. So you're going to take some of the oil out of that eggshell and then put it on your plate and dip your chal in it or something. The Chavon Shekseh Lenair, once it already was designated to fuel the candle, so then Chai Mishim Mechaba, by you taking out the oil, you are extinguishing it. Vafilu Osa Shvofera Shacharis de Me'isalei Gazrinam. Now even let's say the Shvoferis that you're using is not an eggshell, but some type of pottery, which is disgusting that no one would want to take the oil that's in this dirty pottery, and there's no concern of you ever taking that oil, there goes there in all scenarios that whenever the oil is exposed and it's fueling the fire, you're not allowed to, because the chashash, you might take the oil, which is going to be a violation of mechabe. So there's a discussion, what's the mechabe here? So some say mechabe is because it actually makes the fire flame weaker, but others, the rush, it doesn't make any sense, the fire stays the same. You're just ending it earlier, causing the timing of it to end earlier. The flame is not going to be affected. If you drain the oil, that flame is going to remain just as strong as it was 2 seconds ago. All you're really doing is you're cutting it off, you're having it go out earlier. So this becomes relevant. Let's say a person is using a gas oven, a gas stove, a gas barbecue, and you close down the gas line in such a way where the fire continues, but now you shut it down, so in a few moments it's going to turn off. So that would be, if you assume the issue is that the flame is going to lower, it's not going to be a problem. But if you assume that it's going to just end it earlier, so that's what's called gram kibbutz. That's called a indirect way of causing things to go out. So gram kiboy, indirectly extinguishing a fire, is actually mutter on yantif. So if you think the problem is you're just ending the timing of the fire to go out earlier, they're supposed to go out after 3 hours, now it's going out after 1 hour, gram kiboy is actually permitted. But we say you're not allowed to do that on yantif. And the Mishnah now says, Rabbi Huda amatir, Rabbi Huda permitted one to fill oil up in such an eggshell. Aval im chibra hayotzer mitchila mutter. If you have a yotzer, some type of a worker who had glued it or cemented it together, where you can't extract the oil from it, so then it's mutter mipnei shu kliyacha, because it's out and all. It's one clean now. You connected the eggshell to the nair, so it's considered one kli. It's all together. It's called a nair. It's called a candle, and you're allowed to light candles. It's only concerned if the eggshell is not attached to the nair. But once you attach them, so then it's permitted because that's all one kli. It's all considered a extended nair. So the idea, because we're allowed to, we know you're supposed to have a nair on Shabbos to light a candle with oil, not a wax. You're allowed to use wax, but ideally shemen zayis. So they can't be gozer on any type of oil. That's how you light it. So they only goes in a situation where the shemen was in a separate utensil than what the nair was in. So I don't know exactly what the image was, but you have a wick and there's some oil, and then you have a separate thing, the oil with the shell on top, dripping into it. So that's, but once you attach the eggshell to the nair, that becomes just one big nair now, and they weren't goes in such a case.
Explains here, they have a bowl used as a reservoir is placed next to the lamp, which holds a long wick. The unlanded wick is extended from the lamp to the bowl, thus creating additional supply of fuel.
Right, but once you attach it, so then it becomes a nair.
This is the problematic one.
Right.
It's next to it, and you have the gas, the oil is sitting there, and a long wick going into there that you're connecting.
Right, but once when you attach it together, when the Mishnah says it's a kli echad, then I think the idea is because now that's just called a nair. That's just a regular candle now. Even though we know it's an eggshell connecting to some other utensil, it's still considered a kli echad. So then the Mishnah says, "Lo yimali adam kara shel shem, and a person shouldn't fill up a plate with oil v'yinena b'tzad aner and place it next to the candle. V'yitein rosha p'sila b'socha b'shvil sh'yitesha aves. And this, I think this is the case you're describing maybe. This is, and don't take the wick. Don't take the wick and extend it into the plate next to it, similar to the case of the egg. I mean, the first case was where the oil was dripping into a separate thing. This is the case where the wick is so long where it's extending into the oil. That shouldn't be allowed. That's not allowed according to the Chachamim. But Rabbi Yehuda Mati, he permits this case as well.
What's the chashash?
Sorry, the chashash here? I assume the same chashash here. He might take the plate away because it's not connected to the candle, and then you're being mechabe again. So the Gemara says, Shrich, why do you need both cases of the beitza and the case of the kara? The Ashmin and Shfaferes, we taught the first case of the Shfaferes, Shabeitza, Bahal, Kamriar, Banan. This was where Banan said you can't do it. Chavan, Delo, Meisa, Asla, Tepuke, Minei. Since it's not disgusting, since the eggshell is not something disgusting, it's very likely they're going to take the oil out of the eggshell. Rashi says there's a separation between the eggshell and between the nair. Aval shacheres de meisa emam odile le Rabbi Yehuda. But when you have a kara plate, the oil is in the plate, it's made of cheres, and that's disgusting. Apparently, oil in the cheres is no one's going to want to eat from it. There should be no chashash. Kamashman, even in the case of a kara shacheres, even in that case, it's going to be aser. Now, viashmin and shacheres, if you taught the case of a cheres, so then baha kam Rabbi Yehuda. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted because there's no chashash of someone taking from the cheres. Aval behahi emam odi l'rabbanan. But maybe in the other case where it's not a cheres, where it's a beitza, so maybe in that case Rabbi Yehuda will agree to rabbanan. It should be aser because it's likely a person will be mistapik of the shemen from the beitza. So then the Gemara says v'yashminan hanich tarti. If we taught the first two cases of the beitza and the cheres, maybe those two cases behani kama Rabbi Yehuda. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to light such a candle mishum delo. Because the law mifsek, there is no separation at all. The eggshell and the cheres is right next to the oil, and no one's going to take the oil out. Aval kara the mifseka, where there's a plate that's far away from the candle, and you have a long wick that connects all the way to the plate, but they're really separate from each other. Maybe in this case, ema modi lehu l'rabbanan. Maybe here, Rabbi Yehuda would agree to the rabbanan that very likely a person will take off some of the oil since the plate is so far away from the flame, and there's a long wick that only connects it. So v'iashminim bahi, and if we taught only this last case of the long wick to the kara that's far away, maybe bahi kamir rabbanan. Maybe in that case is where the rabbanan are machmir because it's very likely you'll take from the oil. Avabahani tarati. But in the two previous cases of the Mishnah, the beitz and the cheres, where they're right next to the candle, maybe emia moduli Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe a chamer agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that's permitted to light such a fire. Tzricha, even in those cases, Chacham will argue that you cannot leave such an oil candle on Shabbos. Fine. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Im chibra hayotza mitchila mutter. If you attach the beta to the ner, or the cheres to the ner, yotzer, a professional, whatever you call it, what?
Potter.
That's the yotzer potter, professional potter. So then that would be permitted because it's all connected to each other. So Tana, im chibra besid ubecharasis mutter. You connect it with sid. Sid's what, like plaster? And what's charasis?
Clay.
Fine. You connect it in one of those two ways. Mutter. So v'ha anan yotze tanan. Does our Mishnah say yotze tanan? So what's the shaila here? So the shaila is, Rashi explains here that the Baal Bais, the Bais we just quoted, Besid Becharasis, is something that anyone could do. You could take some pottery, red clay, you could take plaster, you go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and get the stuff on your own. Crazy glue, do whatever you want. So anybody could do this. But our mission says, Yotzi, you have to have actually a real professional potterer who's doing this, not any Baal Bais. So the Gemara says, what does it mean in the mission of my Yotzer? Kein Yotzer. It doesn't mean you have to go hire a professional potter to do this. Meaning, as long as it's strong enough connected in such a way that as if a Yotzer would do it, using crazy glue or cement, that would be sufficient to be considered a Kli Echad. Fine. How's the Marav menu looking? Oh, sweet. Okay, good. Make sure you're paying attention, that's all. Tanya, what? Okay, good. All right, good. We need to have that. It's important. Fine. Tanya. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Pamacha shivtenu balias beis nitzah belud. One time we were sitting in this attic in the house of Lud, in Lud, The Vilanu Shfalferish Beta, they gave us an eggshell. Umalanu Shem, they filled up with oil. The Nikvinu, they placed the hole in the bottom of the eggshell. That's a hard thing to do, I imagine, no? Is that a cracking? It won't crack the whole egg? Really?
You ever see a chicken pop out of a leg?
No, so you make a hole in it and then the egg comes, you ooze it out, all the egg comes out of it?
Yeah,
you've done this before. Yeah, you guys are professional, and everyone's like so confident that this works.
Drain it and fill it up.
Make the sukkah decoration.
Yeah.
Put two holes in them, you can blow out all the color.
Wow. Okay, you've done this before.
My kids have done it.
Wow. Okay, sounds like a fun thing. Okay, fine. I need to get out a little bit more. Nagvanu. So they make a hole in it. V'anchenu al pianer. They place it on top of the candle. V'yasham Rabbi Tarfon v'zakedim v'lo amru lanu davar. They didn't say a thing to us. So we see this is allowed. So the Gemara says, Amru lo misham raya. You can bring a proof from there, the fact that they use such a eggshell. Shiny base nitsa, there's reason ain. In this place, there's reason. Only people who are tamid chachamim and very careful were the ones doing this. So that's why it was allowed. But the hamonam, who are not zariz, we don't allow them to use a shvaferish beitza. Gemara has another maiza abin tzipora, garar safsala bialisa deshesha, that he was dragging a bench in this place, the Le'ela ben Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar, in the attic of Shisha's marble. He was dragging a marble floor, which is nothing wrong with a marble floor. It's not going to create any lines in it. There's no dirt there. And in front of Rabbi Yitzhak ben Elazar, so Amr Le, he says, Ishtu kilecha k'deshatzchi le'chavir Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to be quiet, like they were quiet to Rabbi Yehuda, so then what's going to happen is nafik minei churva. There's going to be a terrible thing that's going to result from this. Why, what's a terrible thing? So Rashi explains here, Nafik Minei Churva, around seven narrow lines up, Vinhagu Heter Bedavar, they're going to allow you to drag a bench and marble, Reb Yitzhak Svir Leik Reb Yehuda, the Davar Shein Meskavin Aser. Biavagav de Bishayish, even though this is Lo'avid Charit, even though dragging a marble doesn't have any, it's not going to make any lines in the floor, obviously, but Gazer Atu Ilasa Dalma. But what's going to happen is most houses then had dirt floors. So if I saw in that guy's house they were dragging a bench on Shabbos, I do the same thing in my house, but my house got dirt. And when I drag it, I'm going to create the lines. Now, even though my intention is not to create little furrows in my ground in my house, but still, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Usur. So you can't allow it to even drag on the marble floor. So this is a very important halacha lemaisa. There's a Tosus on top here. Look at Tosus Dir Masal Gzeira Elisa de Shesha Atu Elisa de Alma. You're not allowed to drag a bench anywhere, even on a marble floor, unless it's being used in a dirt floor. So Vahad the Kamer Besof HaMatzniya, later on Daf Tzadihei, Amei Mar Shara Zilcha B'Mechuza, and he permitted Zilcha and Mechuza. What does that mean? U'mefarish Tatayim Amai Amar Rabbanan Dilma Asila Shvui Gumos Sahacha Leka Gumos. So he permitted, I'm not sure what Zilcha, I don't remember what Zilcha is. Permit something that could create person leveling out holes in the floor, but here there's no concern. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, this brought down the Bar Halacha, I think, that Dehula Mechuza Ritzba Haisa. Mechuza was a very fancy neighborhood, and everyone had marble floors, so they had floors. Not everyone had dirt floors there. So there, Hasam Ein Ligzar Mechuza Ata Shah Yaros. Aba Be'ir Achaz Gazrin Aliyah Zu Ata Aliyah Acharis. So again, if you live in an area where most floors are dirt, and my house, I'm a fancy guy, I've got marble. So I can't drag a bench in my house because you, my neighbor, might drag a house bench in your house and you have dirt. But if you live in an area like Mechuza, it's very, very chashiv. Everyone had more marble floors there, so then it's permitted entirely for everyone to drag because there's no chashash of someone learning from what I'm doing because we all have marble floors. So that's when it comes to sweeping and mopping, all those things they talk about in Halacha, that even though it said you're not allowed to sweep on a floor, because lest you sweep on an area where there's dirt, Bar Halacha says if you live in a city, I think he quotes his Tosfos, if you live in a city that everyone has the wood floors or marble or carpet, whatever it is, so then there's no chashash, you are allowed to sweep or mop on those floors. And let's finish off this Gemara now. Gemara says now, Reish Kanishta, the Reish Kanishta Rashi says is like the Gabbai who was in charge of Maftir Knesios Hamachnis and Motzi Miyashiv Tamidim Tinokos, he would seem to escort everyone to their seats and walk them out. So he was in charge of the base Knesset, the Batzer. That was an area, that's a city. It's actually mentioned those who Daf Yomi. This was one of the cities of the Ari Miklat, I think. Betzer. I think it's the same thing. I could be wrong though. So then, anyways, the Reish Knesset of the Betzer, Gara Safsalasa Leila may Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba. He dragged a bench in front of Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba. So Amalai, come on, who do you hold like? Must be like Rabbi Shimon, that even though there, I guess it was a dirt floor, Davar Shein Meskaven is mutter according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Amar da Amar Rabbi Shimon Gedolim de lo Efshar. B'ktanim mi Amar. Rabbi Shimon might only allow you to drag a heavy bench because you can't lift it up. You have no other way of getting it from one place to the next other than dragging it. But the ktanim, which you could avoid the whole problem, is just lift up the chair and carry it. Maybe Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow you to drag a small chair. Upliga de Ula, de Amar Ula. Ula argues machlokes b'ktanim. He thinks the whole debate between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon is only by ktanim of Abba Gedolim, divir kol mutter. Even Rabbi Huda agrees that Gedolim, big benches, you are allowed to drag. They only debate the small ones. So we see from here that Rabbi Shimon permits even the ketanim according to Ula, but above it seems that maybe Rabbi Shimon would argue by ketanim that you can drag them. So the Gemara again, Rabbi Shimon's position is Davar Shein Meskaven is mutter. That's what he holds. We're just wanting to know, does he hold in every case or only cases where there's no other way around it? So the Gemara asks, Amesa Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gara Adamita, Kisa Vesafsal, you could drag a bed, a chair, a bench, Ubavachla, Yiskavin Lasas Charit, so long as your intention isn't to make any of these furrows in the ground. So Ketani Gedolim, Ketani Ketanim. It says big examples and as small examples. The Kisa is a Katan and a Mita and Safsal are Gedolim. So the Gemara says, Kashil Tavar, this is a question on both positions. So the Gemara says, Ul Mataritz Latame, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba Mataritz Latame. They each answer, explain this statement according to their understanding, their liking. Ula Mataritz Latame, Mita Dumya Dekise. The example of Mita here, we're talking about a small Mita where it's small. So Rashi just explains here, Dumya Dekise, Ketanim, Ubahahu Da Asr Bihuda, Vabagdolim Shari. This whole discussion referring to small items, a small bed, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda says it's Asr. But when it came to Gedolim, it came to big things, so then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's Mutter. So that's how Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba understands it. That was all how Ula understood it. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba Mataritz Latame, he explains according to his Shita that Kisya Dumya Dadmita, that really a chair is talking connected to Mita. We're talking about not one of the small chairs, but like a big, like a throne, where it's very big. That's the case. So Rashi explains, Kise Dumya Demita Gedolim, they're both big piece of furniture. Ubahahu Deshar Rabbi Shimon. Only that's the case where Rabbi Shimon permits it, because it's EF Sharb in an Acher, it's so heavy. Avabaktanim Asib, when it came to something small, like a light chair, even Rabbi Shimon would agree it's Asib. So there's a very big machlokas how to understand the position of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the Gemara now says, and we'll finish off here, Umesa Rabba asks the following question. Those who are selling articles of clothing, they could sell in the proper way, which means that they could wear it. Rashi explains here, they would wear ksusha kalayim, lov shubashuk. They wear shot in his suits, kidei laharosu lamocho, to show off their garments for people to buy them. The only time it's asr of shatnez is to wear it in order to warm your body up. Kedera koloshin. But to show it off, to sell, that's not bechlal the iser. That's what the Mishnah says. So again, the Gemara says, Mesir Rabba, Mochik says, people selling clothing, Shatnez clothing, Mochin Kedark, and they could sell it and show it off as they wear it. Ubavad, Shlois Kavin, Bechama, Mibnei Chama, Ubikshamim, Bnei Akshamim, so long as they don't intend on shading themselves from the heat or warming them up from the rain or protecting from the rain, they can't have kavana for this. There's Davar Shein Meskaven is mutter. And Vatsnun Mafshilin Bemakil Acharim. But those who are very tsnun and wanted to remove themselves from any type of iser, they would not wear, they would actually hold it on a stick behind them and show it off that way on some rod they were hanging. So the Gemara asks the question, V'ha hacha de'efshir l'mevar kitznuim d'chik tanim damim. Isn't this an example that anyone could sell it by holding on a stick like the tznum were? There's efshir, there's a way around it, and which is like tanim, that in theory you could pick up the small chair and not having to drag it, but yet, v'chi lo meskavin shari. But as long as you don't have kavan, it's permitted. So above we said, it's nothing to do with efshir yesha, it's nothing to do with your ability or not ability, all depends on your kavanah. So this is a clear statement that they could have avoided the whole issue and held it on a stick like the tzum, but they don't have to. As long as you don't have kavana, davar shein miskaven, according to Rabbi Shimon, is always mutter, even by katan, even though they could have moved it in a different way. So the Gemara says, again, v'chilo miskaven, shari Rabbi Shimon l'chachila. So the Gemara ends up saying, you're right, it's a tiyuf to the Rabbi Yehuda Rabba, Rabbi Yirmi, rather, Rabba, Tiyufta. This is a question according to his position. And it turned out, we end up asking, like Rabbi Shimon, within the world of Rabbi Shimon, Darvish Shemus Kavan is Mutter, across the board, whether it's possible, whether it's Efshur, or even if it's Efshur bin an Acher. Okay, we'll stop here, guys.